Hey, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm going to talk about why it's more important to memorize the facts and the concept of the scene before you memorize your lines. I'll explain. Today, I want to talk about this idea of memorizing, but we're also going to discuss a few other things. You know, this idea of ownership, but what it really means to own your material, you know, and memorization. And then I have a scene, you know, this was all kind of inspired by a coaching I was doing with one of the actors I work with, and she had this scene out of, I think, kind of a horror film, and she was struggling a bit with the lines. She, as we were doing the taping, she would forget these lines. And so it inspired me to want to do this podcast about, you know, the way that we really are able to kind of quickly latch onto a scene to the point that when we go to do the scene, we're not so precariously positioned with the wording and what we're trying to say and do. No, we own it, we got it, we know what's going on, we understand all the facts, and we just kind of approach the scene differently. This will also answer many people's questions that I get from time to time about, well, Jeff, if you're not telling us to write down our action verbs and write a backstory and figure all these things out, then what is it we do? Well, here's going to be a great example. We'll kind of hit all the food groups on this scene because it's not too long. And it's very straightforward. So I think what I get from this script is there is a boyfriend-girlfriend duo. The girl is young and attractive. And I get that she, I think certainly in this scene, she drives along. And if she can, she tries to figure out a way to just through her goodness and kindness, pretend like she's helping some young man. And then she takes them back to her boyfriend. And I guess they do horrible things to him. So here we have the scene where a fellow has a flat tire on a road in the middle of nowhere, and the stranger, the young lady, comes along, and now her thing, this scene, is about her getting him to get in her car, where she will have some pretense of wanting to help him to take him somewhere where he can get what he needs, but in fact will end up running into her boyfriend. They will, you know, do what they do to this poor fellow. Well, right off the bat, there has to be conflict, or we don't have a scene. So where do we have the conflict? Well, obviously, in the her getting him in her car. We need to see just how this woman is able to lure these men into getting into her car. That's what the scene is going to serve the purpose of. To me, as a director, it has to make sense that this guy would get in the car with her, particularly if the guy is leery or not wanting to. So that's the story of what's happening in this scene. So first things first, we memorize, if you will, the concept. What is the concept of this scene? It sets up how this works, who she is, what she does, and how good she is at it. Now, for my money, I want to make her as clever as possible. I want to make the conflict as strong as I can, so that when she overcomes that, when she's able to get this guy in the car, I will already know at the movie's beginning that we have a formidable young lady here. She's very good at what she does. At the same time, in portraying the fellow, I want to talk about how we justify what we're doing on that side. How can I logically give them motivation that most audience would sit and say, yeah, that makes sense to me. That's probably what I would do. You see, when we do that, we pull the audience in. We have a fellow on the side of the road. He's got a flat tire, and this stranger rolls up. Her first line is, how's it going over there? He says, yeah, good. She says, you sure about that? Doesn't look like it from here. He says, yeah, I'm just about to call a tow. So we can see the scene. She pulls up. She asks him what's going on. He's got a phone in his hand. We can see the area around us. We can imagine we're in the middle of nowhere, someplace in Nevada, whatever, where you can see forever and there's nothing there. After he says he's about to call a tow, she says, which one? And he says, hey, And she said, I said, which toe you gonna call? Now, you see, one of the things I would say to an actor I was working with right off the bat is I would say, oh, you say the line, which one? Why would you say which one? What are you doing with which one? What does which one mean to you? Why would you use that phrase? We have to assume that this person isn't necessarily a local. Let's say she isn't. Let's say that she's just out hunting for a person. Why is which one clever? Which one is clever? Because it immediately speaks to the idea that this woman must be a local. She knows, in fact, all of the local toe businesses. She said, I said, which toe you gonna call? He's confused for a second, but he replies, whatever's closest, I guess. I appreciate the concern, but I'm fine, really. Okay, now, she has already established, although perhaps subtly, but I ask actors this, and they'll sit there and say, because I want to know which one. No, what you're implying is that you know what's going on around here, and this is the first step in getting this fellow to trust you. You must not be dangerous. You live around here. Aside from how you look, you seem young and innocent and kind, you know, yes, but you seem to have firsthand knowledge of the area. I'm speaking to a local. But then the fellow, he says, I appreciate the concern, but I'm fine, really. And I would say to the actor, I'd say, that's interesting. So you have a delightful young person who comes up and is offering to help you, and you just kind of shun them. Now, why would you do that? Let's come up with a really good reason that most of us could get behind. I would say something simple like, you know, not everybody wants to bother other people. If you have AAA or whatever it is, and you have a phone, and, you know, civilization is somewhere nearby, you might be one of those people that just doesn't like to bother other people. That's why you have AAA. That's why you have a phone, so you can do this stuff. It's nothing mean, but you don't know this lady. She may have things she needs to do. A lot of people could get behind that, and that would be why you would not want to go. She then says, I was going to say there's a little service station about 3 miles down, but last I checked, Bobby doesn't work Sundays anymore. I would say to the actor, okay, tell me about that. What is all that? Let's pretend like you're not from around here. In the structure of what you just said, what do you hope to accomplish with it? Well, it's interesting. Let's say she's not from around here. Let's say she has just some offhand knowledge there might be a service station down the road. She doesn't know how many miles. But she says, a little service station about 3 miles down. But last I checked, Bobby doesn't work Sundays anymore. Now, what's the significance of all that? Again, she has firsthand knowledge. She knows how many miles away. She knows there's a guy there named Bobby, and that's a very kind of familiar way to speak about somebody. Bobby, it's not Robert, it's not Mr. Jensen. It's Bobby doesn't work Sundays anymore. She's obviously been around to know that Bobby used to work Sundays, now he doesn't anymore. She is more and more making her seem like just some benign person who lives in town, the perfect person you would want to help you out in a situation like this. You see? Now let's talk about memorization for a second. She would forget it was a service station. She would say a rest stop. She didn't have any miles. She forgot Bobby's name. So when I say memorize the facts and concept, we've been going over concept. When the actor sits down, first don't try to memorize the line the way it's written. Just tell yourself, what's down the road, a service station? How far away is it? It's 3 miles. What's 3 miles away? A service station. And do you know who runs it? Yes. What's his name? Bobby. What's the guy's name who runs the service station? Bobby. How far away is it? It's 3 miles. Does he work every day? No, he doesn't work on Sundays anymore. He used to, but he doesn't anymore. So what's 3 miles down the road? A service station run by a guy named Bobby, but he doesn't work on Sundays anymore. Now, you see, how much time did we take? Was that even a minute to do that? Now, most of you right now could easily remember that there's a service station 3 miles down the road run by a guy named Bobby, but he doesn't work on Sundays, and therefore today must be Sunday. Now, you see, if you do it that way, and I know it sounds silly, but just say, who works there? A guy named Bobby, and does he work every day? No. What's the day Bobby doesn't work? On Sunday, and, you know. it becomes a part of what you know now. You're not just hoping that you'll say the line in the right order and that will pop out properly. No, you own a set of facts. You know there is this thing. Now, when you go to memorize your line now, really what you're going to be doing is just speaking to knowledge that you have. And that's different from how most people memorize their lines. That's why they start with the first word. Sometimes you can't remember the first word, and that's kind of what gets you into the thing. And now you can't remember anything. Why? Because you were trying to memorize a line more superficially, memorize its contents, and so you don't really own them. But once again, every one of you out there listening know that Bobby doesn't work on Sundays at a service station 3 miles down the road. Now, I don't need to put a thought bubble above my head when I say that line. I just know the facts of it, and I have more confidence, and I tend not to go up on lines then. Peter comes back with, right, well, some other one then. Well, okay, again, I would tell the actor, look, man, you have a phone. You have the world at your fingertips. You know, there's not a blizzard out. You're going to be able to survive, and you're someone. There are people that just don't like to feel like they're taking advantage of anyone or putting anyone out. He could be one of these people. And you see, most people relate to that kind of sense, because most of you probably feel that way or could feel that way. Okay, so we've got conflict. We have a nice person doing her best to be incredibly persuasive, and we have the person, no thanks, I know I can handle this. The next thing the stranger says is, about four exits that way, though, just a little west of here, there's a truck stop and a roadside diner. They could help you out. Again, the stranger is letting this fellow know, I know where everything is. I know how many exits away. I know there's a truck stop. I know there's a diner. Again, it makes her feel so benign. Like, she's like a tour guide. You know, she's not here to hurt anyone. She's not going to rob you or do anything. Obviously, she's very kind, and she's continuing to persuade this fellow with her knowledge of the place and her kindness. Now, again, let's talk about memorization, okay? What's four exits from here? There's a truck stop. Only a truck stop? No, it's got a roadside diner. And how far away is it? It's four exits. And which direction? East, west, north, south? It's west. What's west? A truck stop with a roadside diner. And how far away is it? It's four exits. Four exits from here, there is a truck stop with a roadside diner, and you got to go west. It's west of here. The truck stop is west of here, and they have a roadside diner. But you got to go four exits. Now, you see, in the time I did that, I've imprinted it into my head. It's very simple, but it doesn't imprint the same way when you just try and memorize the lines, because you're not using your brain in the exercise of, okay, let me put the facts here together. Four exits west from here, there is a truck stop and there is a roadside diner, and they could help you. What else does that imply? Once again, she knows everything. Also, a truck stop, you see, there's going to be lots of people. What, 100, 200 people? It's going to be lit. It's a 24-hour thing. There's a diner. There's all sorts of people there. It's a very safe place. I could also get some food. So then he says, okay, as if, you know, thank you for that. Then she continues the conversation with, you got a flat or something? He says, looks that way. She says, they'll get you sorted out then. It's got a pretty good burger, too. Again, what does the fellow have? What's the problem he has? It looks like he has a flat tire. And where could that be fixed? Well, that could be fixed at the truck stop. Why? Well, it's a truck stop. There, you know, the one thing they can probably do there is fix a tire. Also, she adds, there's a good burger. Okay, so where can you get a good burger? Well, you can get it at the truck stop. There's a diner there. Also, saying that it's a good burger shows that she's probably eaten that burger, which means that she knows the burger there is good. She's probably had more than one there, which means she's a local, which means she knows things. She'd probably walk in and people go, hey, you know, Sue, Sally, whatever her name is. And it all continues to seem very nice and no problems. And she has all the answers. And she is a local. She is a tour guide, for God's sake. Then there's a bit of a beat, it says, a long beat. And then she says, I could give you a lift if you need it. I'm headed right past there. He says he thinks he'll just walk. Again, I would say to the actor, look, you really do not want to impose. You have a phobia of imposing. That's enough. People have phobias of imposing. And that's certainly a lot of conflict. Now the stranger has to come back with something else. What does the stranger say? She says, I wouldn't recommend it. It gets pretty dark out here, and some of these trucks, they just don't, they wouldn't even see you. That's a good one. He can probably look up and down the road as we can and see there's no street lights. And if this is a road that's basically just a truck road, then yeah, big front ends, you can't quite see, you're out in the middle of nowhere. Again, she has firsthand knowledge. She seems to know what kinds of vehicles drive along here. She's looking out for the guy. And then he says, right. She says, look, it's not a problem, honestly, unless you don't want, you know, you don't feel comfortable riding with strangers. Now she challenges him a bit, you see. So I'd go back and I'd say, okay, why would you not recommend driving walking on the road? And I'd have the person just tell me in their own words, because it's very dark out here. There's a lot of trucks. A lot of times trucks, you know, maybe they're not paying attention. You're on the side of the road. They hit you. Again, you see, and as you speak, if you do this along with me or you know, just to say what I'm saying, you'll see how your mind makes little visuals. You don't even have to think about it. It just does. You say truck. You say walking. You get these little things in your head. You see the guy walking along. You see the truck. You see the lights. You see the darkness. You see walking in the darkness. While you're just doing this simple memorizing thing that I'm telling you, but what's happening is it's kind of weaving this world that you're kind of seeing as you're doing this very simple, quick exercise. Challenging with, you don't want to ride with a stranger. You know, it's almost then an insult. Because then if you continue to say no, then it's, you know, the young lady's going, wow, okay, so you want to walk? You don't even, I'm a nice person. I'm obviously a local, you know. It's kind of challenging a person's goodwill. She says, I'm L, by the way. And she says, well, he says, they call me L. And then he says, Peter, and he says, there you go. You see, we're not strangers anymore. And that's the end of that scene, and we know that he gets in the car, and then, of course, he is abducted. I'd say other things to the actor, like, okay, you say it's four exits. Why do you think you say four exits? Let's think of this together. I love asking actors these questions because, you know, why didn't you pick eight? Why didn't you say one? Why four? Now, not that the answer I'm going to give you now is the only answer, but I just want you to listen to it and see how something like this can work. You ask me why I say four exits. I say, well, four exits, you know, each exit is in a mile. Exits can be 2, 5, 10 miles. But if I say four, it doesn't sound like too many, but enough to where I can be in the car and we can just talk. And why is that important? Well, I just set you at ease. The more time we have to be normal and talk and share, you know, whatever we can, the more apt you are to trust whatever the next few things are that I'm about to do to you to get to where I want to be with you. Why is four good? Four, by the time we do three, I could make you believe anything. I could say, I'm going to take a bit of a shortcut. You got to go down this service road for a little ways. And it's otherwise, it's just you got to go two exits past to get back because it's on the other side. You can just start making stuff up. If you said to me, you know, it's 12 exits, I wouldn't even think of going anywhere. I would just say, look, I'm just going to call a tow service. I'll find one. I don't want to travel across half the state. Four exits sounds kind of close. Now, you see what I'm doing here is I'm talking about everything else. I'm not... Oh, just focusing on your lines and your intention with each line. What is your intention? We know what the intention is. I told it to you at the very top. We know what the objective is. We intuitively know what the choice is. Choice being, how are you going to do that? What choice are you going to make? Well, as we discussed at the top, for it to make any kind of logical sense, you're going to have to seem like this benign, nice, local person who, just like small town people, you know, pardon me for wanting to help someone. It's very simple. And on the man's side of it, it's something as simple as, look, man, you don't want to get involved. You don't, you're more of a loner. That's why you have AAA or whatever. That's why you have a phone. You never mentioned you can't get a signal, so obviously it works. So you just want to use it. That's logical. Now, that's it. I've given you that. You see, those, that knowledge right there will carry you completely through the scene. And the mistake you should never make is, okay, so when I say this line, then I'll do it this way. That way you'll know that what I'm doing is this. No, that is the crap of acting. Don't do that. I see that all the time. You know, I'll give the actor a note like I just might have done here, and as they walk over to hit their mark to start, I'll see them saying to themselves, you know, kind of under their breath, and they're already thinking, oh, then I would naturally say it this way. And I scold them. I say, quit figuring out how you're going to say it before you do it. What are you You know what you're doing. You know what's happening. Can we just please see what happens on the field of play? Let your intuition take over. It works for you every day of your life. But you see, what you need to know is the basics of what I've gone over with this scene. When you know that, now let me just ask you. Me having been as clear as I've been about how the scene works, the structure, what you're up to, what the conflict is, what we need to get, the story we're telling, and you've heard me say these lines, don't you feel completely equipped to be able to have a good go at this scene, either side? You understand the parameters of why it has to work a certain way. This is what drives a scene. And I want you to remember this concept of the way we memorize. You know, you do it by yourself. You just keep asking yourself questions. Crisscross, back and forth. How many exits? It's four. Which direction? It's west. What's there? There's a truck stop. Anything else? Yes, there's a cafe. What do they have there that's good? A burger. Which way is it? West. Now, you see, you really understand this stuff. That gives you a confidence. And then when we say our lines, what we're really doing is just speaking to a knowledge of things that we already possess. That's how we need to do it. Well, that's today's sermon. I hope you enjoyed it. And as always, thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. For those of you interested in the Real Life Actor approach and you want to know more about it, well, I've got my book on Amazon, The Real Life Actor, these podcasts. I'm also doing my weekly Zoom classes. You're welcome to join if we have space or audit. And I have a live class in Los Angeles on Sundays at 5 p.m. If you're interested in any of these or my upcoming trip to Vancouver, you can send me an email at jseymour878@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.